Good morning, everyone. So we're going to jump back now into our regular scheduled program, back to Tehillim. We took a few weeks break doing Shir HaShirim, doing Song of Songs. Now we're going to spend at least the next few weeks going back into doing Tehillim. And I picked an interesting chapter of Tehillim, one which Suzette mentioned a number of weeks ago, and that is chapter 117. And see, this time you don't even need two separate books. I was able to put the entire chapter on the first source. It's no mistake, two psukim, two verses. The whole chapter, 117 Tehillim, Kuf Yud Zayin, is two verses long. It's the shortest chapter, not only in Tehillim, but it's the shortest chapter all of Tanakh. Out of all the many hundreds and hundreds of chapters in Tanakh. So this Kuf Yud Zayin, 117 Tehillim, the shortest one, only two psukim. So let's read it now, and then we'll spend the rest of the time analyzing it. It's something that we should be very familiar with. The source number one, the two verses in this chapter are Haluas Hashem Kol Goyim. All the nations should praise you, Hashem. Shabchuhu Kol Umim. Again, sort of a repetition. All the peoples should praise you. So everyone, the whole world should praise you. Source number two, why should they praise you? Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasto. Because you, your kindness has overwhelmed us. You've been incredibly kind to us. The emes Hashem la'olam haleluka, and your truth, and you keep your promise forever, haleluka. So that is the entire chapter 117. Again, verse 1 is, Haleluas Hashem kol goyim, all the nations should praise you. Shabchu kol ha'umim, all the people should praise you. Why? Verse 2, Ki gavar aleinu chasto, because Hashem's kindness has overwhelmed us. The emes Hashem la'olam, and his word, and he keeps his word and his promise, la'olam, forever, hallelujah. So where does this chapter come from, and why are we familiar with this chapter? Close. Where does it come from? We said it? Hallel. Said it, hallel. So, second guess is good. At least it wasn't the third guess, so the second guess is good. Second is good, too. So this, like we said, is the one of the chapters in Hallel. So I did a quick count over Pesach. We said Hallel. How many times did we say Hallel over Pesach?
We said it on the Pesach night.
Yes, how many total?
Nine.
More, close. Well, people have different customs.
Yeah. Well, you say
Shabbat. Right, so you say 8 days of Pesach. You say it 8 times.
8 times.
No one else?
Seder night.
Two with ten.
And then?
Many people have the practice to say it in shul after Maariv on Pesach night. I don't know what the custom is here in Yisrael, but a lot of people, they don't say it here. But many people, so 12. Well, two nights. The two nights of the Seder, yeah. The first 2 nights of the Seder. So possibly he was able to say this chapter of Tehillim and the Hallel 12 times total.
Wow.
Of course, the most we say, 12 times saying Hallel over the course of 8 days. So I don't have such a strong family custom. So I normally just do it wherever, the shul. This year my shul, where I was, did say it, so I said it. But some families do have a strong custom either way. More of the Hasidish families have the custom to say it. More of like the Lithuanian families don't say it. But I think now it's sort of spread and mix and match. But many people said Hallel 12 times. Over the 18th of Pesach, 12 times. And we don't get a break because tomorrow and Thursday, we're back to Rosh Chodesh Iyar. 2 days, so we'll get to say it again.
Starts
tonight. Tonight, tomorrow, and then, Wednesday night, Thursday. So 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Wednesday and Thursday. So this is a chapter that we've been saying many, many times. And as we'll see, not only is it relevant because of all the Hallel that we've been saying, but the theme is very, very relevant to what a lot of us are feeling now, what's going on in the world, specifically in Israel. So let's jump now into source number two. So who wrote this chapter of Tehillim? That's always our first goal, figure out who wrote the chapter of Tehillim. And like we said, this chapter is one of the 5 chapters of Hallel. Hallel is chapter 113 in Tehillim to chapter 118. So sometimes we say what we call a full Hallel, other times we say a half a Hallel. This chapter is always included. It's chapter 117. Right. So like Pesach.
No,
well, we don't say what?
The whole full Hallel on Pesach. I remember you mentioned that.
Right, because really,
those two paragraphs.
Sukkis. We have to review. We'll have to review the notes. Let's go back.
I
the number.
I thought it was
Or Rosh Chodesh, we only say half.
Yeah.
Sukkot, we say full every day. Pesach, we say the first 2 days, we say full. The rest, we say half. Because really, Sukkot, because they had different sacrifices, different korbanos, each day is sort of considered a new holiday.
Right.
Pesach, in a way, is not. And we don't say the full Hallel after the first 2 days. But it's a little of a misnomer, because it's not really half of the Hallel. Just two of the paragraphs, we cut in half. So it's probably like 80% of the Hallel. We call it Chatzi Hallel, but it's like 80%. So this chapter, 117, that's always included. So who wrote this chapter? When did the Jewish people first start saying chapter 117? Again, for those who just came in, the entire chapter is in source number 1. The only two verses, chapter 117, the shortest chapter in all of Tanakh. All of Tanakh, only two verses. So let's look together at source number 2. So who wrote this chapter of Tehillim? So it says the Gemara in Pesachim, apropos, the tractate dealing with all of the laws of Pesach, on 117a, Tanya. So the rabbis taught, Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir said, Kol tushpachos ha'amuros b'sefer Tehillim. All of the praises stated in the book of Psalms, Kulan David Amran, all of them David wrote or said. Which is a little bit of an interesting comment, because we've said many, many times that there are other people who wrote a lot of the chapters, Moshe. So it's interesting why here, the Avraham and even Adam, the first man. So it's here it's interesting why the Gemara says that really most of Tehillim David wrote, or all of Tehillim David wrote, Shin Nemar. And this is actually a verse we saw in a previous chapter. In chapter 72, it says, Kalu Tfilos David Ben Yishai. That was a chapter, if you remember, where David was praying on his deathbed for his son, for Shlomo. So that chapter 72 ended with, Kalu Tfilos David Ben Yishai, the Tfilos of David have concluded. Which many say, on a literal meaning, it was the last chapter that David ever wrote. Even though it's only number 72 out of 150, but it wasn't put in order, that was the last chapter that David wrote on his deathbed praying for his son Shlomo. But the Gemara has an interpretation and it reads the word in a different way. It says, and this is very common in Gemara, Al Tikri Kalu. In a way, there are always four ways to learn Psukim, right? There's what we call Pardes, it's an acronym. Pshat, there's a literal meaning. Remez, there's a hint. Drash is like the deeper level, and Sod is the deepest level. So, of course, on a literal meaning, that Pasuk in chapter 72 is saying, the tefillahs of David have ended. It's the last thing he ever wrote before he died. But the Gemara has a deeper interpretation. Al tikri kalu. Don't read the word kalu, which means to conclude, el kol elu. Really, kalu could be read, kol elu, all of these. And therefore, if you read the Pasuk like that, kol elu, all of these chapters of Tehillim are tefillot David ben Yishai. So it's a hint that David wrote all of the chapters of Tehillim. But then, Hallel Zeh Mi Amro. These five chapters, what we call Hallel, chapter 113 to 118, who wrote it? Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi said, Elazar Bini Omer, it's very interesting by the way, Rabbi Yossi is quoting his son. Rabbi Yossi is saying, my son said, Moshe the Israel Amaru, who originally said it? Moshe and the Jewish people said it, B'shah She'olu Min Hayam. So as Jewish people crossed the sea, they sang Az Yashir, and they also sing Hallel. They sing the five chapters of Hallel. V'chalukin alav chaverav, but his colleagues, his friends, argued with him, and they said, no, Chedavid Amru. They said these five chapters of Tehillim are not like any other chapter. They were written by David as well. So you have machlok, it's a disagreement, who wrote Hallel? Elazar said it was the Jewish people and Moshe when they crossed the sea, but his colleagues in the yeshiva said, no, this also was written by David. And it says Rabbi Yossi, the father, V'nirin dvarav midvarehen. And I think my son is correct. I think my son Elazar is more correct. Why? Very interesting proof. Esher Yisrael shachatu at pischein. Is it possible that the Jewish people for hundreds of years would bring the Korban Pesach? V'natu lulvein. And they went through hundreds of sukkahs and took their lulav and esrog. V'lo amru shira. And they didn't say Hallel. Meaning, if you say that David was the one who wrote these five chapters that we call Hallel, that means that from the time the Jewish people had the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash, they had the Mishkan for many, many years, way before David. So what were they doing every year on Sukkot and on Pesach? They weren't saying Hallel? Of course they were saying Hallel. Hallel is an integral part of bringing the Korban Pesach. When they were bringing the sacrifice, they would say Hallel. That night, they would say Hallel. When Sukkot would come, they would say Hallel. So how could it be, if David wrote these five chapters of Tehillim, how could it be that the Jewish people didn't say Hallel for hundreds and hundreds of years? From the time of Moshe built the Mishkan, all the way until David, they weren't saying Hallel? Of course they were saying Hallel. So that's why Rabbi Yossi says, I think my son is correct, that who wrote these five chapters of Tehillim? Not David. Maybe he incorporated them into his book of Tehillim, but it was really Moshe and the Jewish people, when they crossed the sea, they crossed the Yam Suf, so they sang two songs. They sang Az Yashir, the song at the sea, and they also sang these five chapters of Hallel, which was later included by David in his Sefer Tehillim. So that is an interesting machlokes. If you turn the page, this is a continuation of that same Gemara, so actually it's a little bit more complicated. Now there are more opinions sort of join the mix over here. Look at source number 3. So Tanur Rabbanan, the same question. Hallel ze mi amaro. Who wrote this five chapters of Tehillim? Who wrote what we call Hallel? Who was the first one to author the Hallel? So we have a bunch of different opinions. The first opinion was the same. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Moshe v'Yisrael amaru, b'sha she'amdu alayam. So that's the same opinion we saw before. Who was the first one to say Hallel? It goes back to the Jewish people. At the time they crossed the sea, they sing these five chapters. But now we have other opinions. And you have the English too here in source number 3. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. You know who said it? Yehoshua v'Yisrael amarua, b'sha she'amdu alayam malchei Kenan. You know who originally said Hallel? It wasn't Moshe. It was Yehoshua. When Yeshua brought the Jewish people into Israel, he fought many, many kings, and a lot of miracles happened. That was the first person to ever recite Hallel. That's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Rabbi Lazar HaModai Omer, another opinion. Devora Ubarak Amaruha, B'shash Amar Aleim Sisra. Devora, the prophetess, the Nevi'ah, she's the one who said it when Sisra, the enemy of the Jewish people, came against them and they were saved. She's the one who said it. We have more opinions. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer, Chizkiyah v'siyat hayamru. You know who said it? A later king, Chizkiyah, said it, even after David. B'shash amar aleihem Sancheirev. Another miracle that happened in Tanakh. Sancheirev wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Hashem did a miracle and wiped him out. They're the ones who first said Hallel. Then we have two more opinions. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chananya, Mishal v'Azariah amarua. B'shash amar aleihem v'chanetzar Rasha. Rabbi, you know the famous story where they were thrown into the furnace, and they came out alive, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. So when they were saved, they were the ones who said Hallel. Last opinion, Rabbi Yosef, Aglili Omer, you know, said Hallel, Mordechai ve Esther Amarua, they were the first ones to say it, B'shasha Amin Aleihem, Hamin Arasha. So many different opinions, spanning all the way from Moshe, when the Jewish people crossed the sea, all the way, the latest possible date, that's already Mordechai and Esther, that's already after the destruction of the first temple, and many, many things in between. But then we have one final opinion, and this seemingly is a majority opinion. The Chacham Omrim, you know what the majority opinion is? Really, everyone's right. Either no one's right, everyone's right, no one's right. Nevi'im Shebeinei Tiknu Lahem, they all said it. They all, what we call Mechavein, they all thought of it, this exact same thing. They all established, Yisrael, Shiu Omrim Oso, Al Kol Perek V'Perek. They all established that these five chapters of Tehillim should be said at every important time in Jewish history and the Jewish year, Ve'al Kol Tzara V'Tzara Shelo Tavo Leim Yisrael, and when every enemy is coming against us and we have a sorrow and we're worried, they establish to say it, U Likash Nigalin, and when we're saved from our enemies, Omer Moso Al Gulasan, we say it when we're redeemed. So whoever is right, it's unclear, it's hard to know who the Paskin like, it's not a halachic question. We have many different opinions who said the Hallel first, but the Chachamim conclude the discussion by saying, doesn't really matter who said it first, but every single generation, all the way from Moshe until now, 2024, so at every time the Jewish people felt they were in danger, and they faced a threat, and when they were redeemed, they were saved, this Perek of Tehillim, these five Perek of Tehillim really, again 113 to 118, were always the things that were said. And if you look at source number 4, I quoted this when we did a different chapter of Hallel a number of months ago, so it's a very fascinating line in the Gemara. If you go one source down, Amar Rabbi Yossi said, Yehi chalki, let my portion be with migomri hal b'chol yom. Let my portion be with those who say Hallel every single day. I mean, he considered that a merit. I want to be like those people who say Hallel every day. So the Gemara asks, Ini, is that so? You really want to be like someone who says Hallel every day? V'ha marmar, but you yourself once said, HaKori Hallel b'chol yom, if you recite Hallel every single day, HaReze Mechareif u'Megadeif, You're cursing God. So very interesting. Someone who says Hallel every single day is cursing God. So how are you saying that you want to be among those people who say Hallel every day? It doesn't sound like a good thing. So he says, no, okay, Kamrina, you know what I meant? I didn't mean Hallel, I meant Pesukei Dezimra. That's what I meant. I meant I want to be amongst the people who say Pesukei Dezimra, what we say in the morning. But of course, you can't say Hallel every day. The Gemara goes so far to say that someone who says Hallel every day, he's cursing God. It's blasphemy. I think we spoke at that time, why is it so bad? We're praising God. So it could be that in a way, one of the short answers is that Hallel was established to be said on open miracles. If you say Hallel every day, it cheapens it. You lose the feeling of saying, imagine you said Hallel every day, so when you really have to say Hallel, it's not meaningful.
So Rabbi, just to make sure I understand this clearly, that when you someone who says Hallel every day, would this statement only applies to specifically 113 through 118, not someone who recites.
Right, good question. Right, very good. I was thinking that also, right. If someone wants to recite the entire chapter, the book of Tehillim every day, or someone is saying Tehillim every day, and happens to get up to that, of course it's fine. It means someone who goes out of its way, let's say, you know, after davening every morning, and recites the Hallel. Right. But someone who's saying Tehillim on the normal course, his or her normal course of the day, of course it's not a problem to say these five chapters. It would only be if you go out of your way to say it, to do Hallel, in order to say Hallel. And this is actually the basis of an interesting machlokes, which got very political recently, but it's really a halachic machlokes about saying Hallel on Yom HaTzimut, which we have in just a few days. Should we say Hallel on Yom HaTzimut or not? So on the one hand, to talk about the miracles that were done for the Jewish people at that time, clearly there were many open miracles. But on the other hand, for our generation to establish Hallel, I mean, some people could say, what's so bad about saying Hallel? It's just chapters of Tehillim. But we saw see if it's Gemara and Shabbos, there is a potential downside. There is a downside to say Hallel. You can't say Hallel whenever you want. So that these Gemaras are sort of the basis for the machlokas, the disagreement, whether we say Hallel, don't say Hallel, with a bracha, not a bracha. So on the one hand, Hallel is very, very special, very powerful. It was written possibly even by the Jewish people when they crossed through the sea. On the other hand, because it's so special, so you can cheapen it and you can lose the value of it if you recite it too much. So many were worried about us in 2024, even in 1948, just saying Hallel whenever we want to and establishing new days of Hallel. Many were worried that once that happens, there are many miracles that happen. And how do we know whether we're supposed to establish saying Hallel or not? So that's again, not the topic for now. It's an interesting discussion, but that is really one of the Gemara. This Gemara in Shabbos 118b is one of the basis. That when someone says, it can't hurt to say Hallel, it's just chapters of Tehillim. For many chapters, it's true. But for these Prakma of Tehillim, of Hallel, it could be a downside just to say it whenever you want. Meaning you can't get up one day because you're feeling so good about, you know, you had a good night's sleep and you don't get a good night's sleep normally, and you wake up in the morning and you say, Hallel to Hashem. You shouldn't do that because that's cheapening what Hallel is supposed to be. Hallel is set on tremendous miracles. The sea splitting. Haman, his plot being foiled in a miraculous way. Sancheir's army being wiped out overnight, just like this. Right, very good. We don't say Hallel on Purim. That's because either the reading the Megillah is Hallel. Very good, right. It's very interesting. It sounds like, I didn't even think of that. It sounds like at the time of Purim, it sounds like Mordechai and Esther said Hallel. But we don't say Hallel anymore. Either because when we read the Megillah, it is the Hallel, or because it was done outside of Israel, so we don't establish that. Very good point. So yeah, that was a little background just to Hallel, the authorship of Hallel, which we said, chapter 117 is right in the middle, between, again, 113 to 118 is Hallel. So chapter 117, which we're going to focus on today, is right smack in the middle. We say it many times over the year. Right, so good. So the Gemara says you say Hallel either celebrating a miracle or on a moed, on a holiday. So it could be two reasons, right? Rosh Chodesh also, there's no miracle. But Sukkis, there's no miracle. So Hallel is really established either for a miracle or on a special holiday, a festival. So even Chanukah we say it. Chanukah is not necessarily a... you mean like... Chanukah is a miracle. Right? But no, Torah holiday, you don't mean like written in the Torah, because Chanukah happened after the Tanakh was...
So Chanukah would be a miracle.
Right, I say a personal miracle. Right. Yeah, yeah. So Yom HaTzimut will be because of the holiday aspect, because of the miracle aspect, not because of the holiday.
Right. It was a miracle.
A tremendous miracle, right. Meaning it's no chag, you know, it's not a holiday Yom HaTzimut. like Sukkot is, or like, there's no mitzvahs that you do on that day, but the reason to say hallel would be because of the miracle aspect, not because of the holiday aspect. Or you could, meaning many people say it also on Yom Yerushalayim, it's another day people say it on, not because of the holiday aspect, because of the miracle aspect, celebrating that. The problem is, who has the ability to establish a new day of saying hallel? That's the question. Do we have the ability nowadays? Right. So rabbis, which rabbis, you know,
Right.
So many different opinions, but yeah, many shuls. Yeah, I imagine they do it here. I mean, that's all question because the sphira. That's probably less.
Right.
That's a more controversial topic, but maybe a different time. So right, it's very good. So challah is normally said either celebrating a miracle or on a festival, on a holiday. So like Pesach, really, we had both. Pesach, we had both. It's a holiday, and it's celebrating a miracle. So Pesach, we said it many, many times. So let's now jump into the chapter. Again, there's only two verses. We'll read it again now. If you want to go back, it's source number one. Hallelujah, Hashem kol goyim. All of the nations should praise you, Hashem. Shabchu kol ha'umim. All of the peoples should also praise you. Why? Verse number two. Ki gavar aleinu chasto. Because your kindness has overwhelmed us. Ve'emes Hashem le'olam, and your truth and your promise and your word lasts forever. Hallelujah. That's the entire chapter. Like we said, the shortest chapter in all of Tanakh. And I thought it was very fascinating that the commentaries, Mefarshim, actually find a lot of meaning. They find a lot of significance in the fact that this chapter is only two verses long. I mean, it's not a coincidence. The Mefarshim find a lot of meaning in that aspect. And I thought it was interesting because the Chumash, the prakim that we have in the Chumash is not even of Jewish origin. We have prakim, look at Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha. So you're learning Chumash, they say, open to your Chumash to Perek, you know, 15, verse 13. That didn't even come from a Jewish origin. When Moshe got the Torah at Har Sinai, he was not given any chapters. There were no chapters. There were verses, there was psukim, and there was parshios, but there's no chapters. The one who wrote, I wrote it down here, not on your sheet, but the one who actually established it was actually, it was a Christian archbishop in the 13th century, Stephen Langton. In 1227, he was the first one to ever make chapters in the Chumash. So before that, and now you go to every Chumash in the world, I imagine, it made it very easy because when you want to quote a certain verse, how else do you quote the verse? If you're giving a class, or you're learning with someone, how do you quote a verse without any chapter? Like it's very complicated. So he was the one who actually made the chapters, and eventually it snuck in, and all the Chumashim in the whole world, even in Jewish, I imagine you go to Bnei Brak also, you go to Mea Sharim, I imagine the Chumashis have the chapters also. Translated, yeah, right, well, right, way after, yeah, this is in the 13th century already. And then eventually it snuck in. So I thought it was fascinating that the Chumash, the chapters have no significance. There's no holiness to the chapters. If you pay attention even, some of the chapters clearly, not that he made a mistake, but some of them are very awkward stops. Like you're reading the Chumash, it's like right in the middle of a story, like the climax of the story, and then it goes again, you know, chapter 10, verse 1. Like why did he choose to stop there? It's not clear why he chose to stop in the places he did, but clearly the flow doesn't work so well. Clearly it was not given from Hashem to Moshe, as opposed to the psukim were given to Moshe. Hashem did tell Moshe how to stop the psukim up. Aliyah also, right, Aliyos we have, and Parshios, those were all given to Moshe, but the chapter, there were no chapters given to Moshe. Verses, yes, chapters, no. He was an archbishop, yeah. He was like, it's a Christian scholar of the Old Testament, and he felt, hopefully, I don't know what his intentions were, I imagine he felt that it was complicated. How do you teach a class? How do you reference anything? There are no chapters, there are no numbers. How do you know what you're talking about? So he established it. But what's not the case is by Tehillim, we'll see, clearly the chapters are very significant. The Mefarshim make a big deal of the fact that this chapter has, you know, 100 verses, our chapter has 2 verses, so clearly the chapters in Tehillim did have meaning. And there were chapters in the book of Tehillim. In Chumash, there were no original chapters, but it sounds like when David wrote Tehillim, whoever eventually canonized it, they did put significance into chapter breaks. As we'll see now, the Mefarshim find a lot of significance in the fact that this chapter only has 2 verses. So you see that Clearly, in Tehillim, the chapters were relevant, were important, even though in Chumash, the chapters were an invention in, you know, in the 1200s, in the 13th century. So, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm a little confused.
Yeah, please.
Thank you.
We had a few, we're all rusty. We had a few week break, you know. We got to get back into it.
So, Hashem gave Moshe the Torah, the Chumash, etc. What are you meaning by chapters? How each parsha is broken up?
Not parshas, like chapters. Like if you look in a Chumash, is there a Chumash here? Like, open up a Chumash, you see the. Right, it's like the Bereishis starts. Right, the beginning of the Torah starts, chapter 1, verse 1. So, chapter 1, verse 1 over here. Right, 1:15. And then eventually, after let's see, the first chapter has 31 verses, so all of a sudden it just switches now, chapter 2. And then it goes many, many chapters. So that was not given to Moshe, those chapters. It was one long Torah. There are breaks, and there are parshios, and there are psukim, but there are no chapters. That was an invention in the 1200s.
So you're saying that, did you say priest?
Yeah, archbishop, yeah.
Archbishop divided where he
and it caught on. For whatever reason.
But even if he hadn't, or if somebody else would, it's still not going to flow. Because it's still, he didn't take it out of context. He didn't take chapter 1 and move it to chapter 5.
Well, there were no, right, he didn't move anything, but...
Meaning,
it's not a run on. See, that's also one good thing to know. When we say parshios, we refer to, like, this week's parsha is what? Parshas Kedoshim. Last week's parsha is Parshas Achremos. If you look actually in the Chumash, and now you'll see this week, or look in the Torah, there are breaks in the Torah. The Torah does have breaks. See, you can't see it over here, but it's like an empty space over here. On Shabbat, you go to the Chumash, you'll see there are empty spaces. So when the Gemara talks about parshios, it's really referring to these. These do have a lot of significance. Meaning, if you notice the Shabbos,
sections
and those go based on different topics. So those also were given. And that could actually make a Sefer Torah invalid. If you don't leave the space in the Torah, that can invalidate the entire Torah. So Hashem did give Moshe sections based on topics, what we call parshios, but not chapters. The parshios, like even here, you see, I don't know if it's hard to tell, but there's a few breaks over here. See, this is like one, and then there's like a break. Mm-hmm. And then another one, and then a break. So these are really what the Gemara calls parshios. And if you look in the Sefer Torah also, it'll have this break. Mm-hmm. So this was given to Moshe, and this does have meaning. This is one topic, if you look at it. This is one topic. Right. The chapters have no significance, because if it's in the middle of a topic, all of a sudden the chapters switch. No, psukim also were given to Moshe, yeah. Given to Moshe, yeah. Really like a seder. The real word is like, we're up to the seder, you know, achim was kedoshim. Because also, this is also a little off topic, but the fact that we finish the Torah every year is also, was not always done. In some places they finish the Torah every 3 years.
Wow.
So they might not have had the exact same parshios, what we call it.
That's all the conservative practices now.
3 years. So that was an ancient practice. I guess you only have Simchas Torah once every 3 years, though, I guess, you know, it's not as fun. But that was... Why was the old tradition that way? I don't know why they do it nowadays, but you know, in the times of the Gemara even, there were different minhagim. There's no rule you have to finish the Torah every year. There's no mitzvah to finish the Torah every year. Some places finish it every 3 years. There's a mitzvah Moshe established that you have to read from the Torah every Shabbos. Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. He never said what you have to read. So there are different traditions developed over time. Now in the Orthodox world, everyone, it's very established. Obviously, we say we do it once every year. The Simchas Torah now. So, but... Right, right. They do say... The deeper sources say that you could find meaning based on that parsha. Right, at that time. Right, which is hard because they didn't always... Right, back in the different traditions, and what to say at what week, but... But we believe the way the calendar falls out, it was, you know, divinely ordained how it fell out. So look at source number 5. And this is the Radak, one of the great commentaries that we've quoted many times at Tehillim. So he finds a lot of meaning in the fact that this chapter only has 2 verses. Look at the source number 5. There's no English. So the Radak says, Ze ha-mizmor mishnayim psukim levad. This chapter, 117, contains 2 verses. Why? It's referring to messianic times, We're telling all the nations of the world that you will all praise God. So it's referring to Yemos HaMashiach. It's referring to Messianic times. So what's the hint? Why two psukim? V'remez bo, what's the hint? Be'asoso oso shnayim psukim levad. Why did, whoever again, whether it was Moshe or David, why was it only two verses? Because ki kol ha'amim yiyu l'shnei evarim. When Mashiach comes, there's going to be two groups. Everyone's going to be worshiping Hashem in one of two ways. Yisrael yu b'torosam, the Jewish people are going to have our 613 mitzvot, like we have now. The kol ha'umos, and all the rest of the world, are going to keep seven mitzvot, the seven mitzvot that they have. There's not going to be any other division. There's going to be one division. The Jewish people have our Torah, 613 mitzvot. The rest of the world will be all keeping the seven mitzvot. So as opposed to nowadays, where you have millions of people, different religions, people will hate the Jews, who don't keep any mitzvot, immoral people. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be much simpler. Two groups of people. The Jewish people on one side, keeping 613, and the rest of the world, who's going to be keeping seven. And everyone's going to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. Everyone's going to be loyal to God. The Jewish people are going to have to keep the 613, and the non-Jews are going to have to keep seven. But two groups of people, and that's the hint of two psukim. It's going to be so simple. Now, in 2024, there are millions of groups of people. But when Mashiach comes, two groups. And that's the symbolism of the two verses of chapter 117.
So, to me, this ties in with what you just said with the Archbishop, section in Torah. Isn't it just Hashem's hand, so to speak, that the nations of the world would have access to what is in the
right
Torah in a way that...
Right. Right, so it's an interesting point. Everything, right, it's a good question. Everything really is divinely ordained. So we do believe that it wasn't a coincidence. Hashem probably orchestrated this to happen. Everything that happens is divinely orchestrated. Even so, similar to your point, there's a Rambam, a comment of Maimonides, which I think even was taken out by some of the censors. So the Rambam writes, why is it? Why did Hashem make it that there are like other religions very similar to Judaism? Like, like 5,000 years ago, so it was people, there was Judaism, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and then there were people who were worshipping idols. But over the course of time, there became other religions, monotheistic religions, just like the Jewish people. So why is it that Hashem made it that way? Hashem didn't have to make it that way. He could have made the Jewish people and everyone else serving idols. Why did he make it? Why did he orchestrate it that Hashem made many other monotheistic religions? So the Rambam actually writes, so that when Mashiach comes and God reveals himself, it won't be so far into the rest of the world. They already also believe in monotheism. Mm. If the entire world was serving idols, so that switch would be so drastic when Mashiach comes. Mm. So the Rambam writes that the reason why Hashem made these other religions is so that at least it would get people on the right track at the monotheism. Mm. It gets people away from serving idols, and it gets people on the right track to serving one God. So in a way, right, everything that God does is divinely orchestrated. So again, probably he... Of course, he controlled whether that archbishop made the chapters or not. So it wasn't of Jewish origin, but it did stick on. And it sounds like we don't reject it just because of that. It stuck on in many Chumashes. I imagine everywhere you go in the world, they have chapters in the Chumash. So it really did stick on what he did in the 1200s. Very good. So the main question we're going to deal with for the remaining time, I don't know if it's bothered anyone. Let's read the verses one more time. Go back to number one. And there's a major question that all of the commentators, even the Gemara, deals with. Just think about these two verses when I read them in the general and in the more general context, and what sounds off on the flow. The first verse is Halleluah Hashem Kol Goyim, all nations of the world praise God. Shabchu Kol Ha'umim, other people give God His praise. Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasto, for His kindness overwhelmed us. The Emes Hashem La'olam Halleluka, and Hashem keeps His promise forever. Good.
Also,
right, good. Okay, so, right, good. Right, good. You're getting there.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
Oh, just the us doesn't fit with that.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Very good. Right, very, very good. Very good. Verse number one is saying, other nations of the world, Goyim and Umim, everyone should praise God. When Mashiach comes, everyone's going to praise God. Why? Verse number two, Ki gavar aleinu chasto, because he was so kind to us, the Jewish people. That's very strange. Yeah. But before that, everyone has a question, though. The question is in verse number one,
why is the nation,
the nations of the world are praising God. You always say?
Plan so many plots against the Jewish people. Maybe it's like this before. And then we don't know about it because they're the Jewish people and they're trying to attack us. And Hashem foils all their plans. So the nations of the world are really going to praise Hashem because they know how many plots and plans to destroy the Jewish people. And only Hashem knows. We don't know.
Right. Very good.
They're going to praise.
They're going to praise them
because they know.
They know the evil plans.
Plans and plots.
Good. We'll get back to that. Very good.
Them for the Jewish people.
Very good. Everyone here? That very good. And saying that, and we'll get back to soon, that we don't even know all the things that were planned against us. We only know the things that faced us. But there could have been so many other plans that were foiled in their, you know, in infancy when they were just being planned. So really the other nations of the world, they're the only ones who can praise God fully. We can only praise God based on the miracles that we saw. But how about all the things we didn't see? Very good. We're going to come back to that. So if you look now, let's switch back. So if you go to source number 6, the Gemara already asked this question. The Gemara is very bothered by the flow of these two verses. So here you have, again, source number 6, you have the Hebrew and the English. Amar of Kahana, if Kahana said, yeah? Source 6. So we had, the majority opinion was that it was probably, the first opinion was that it was Moshe and the Jewish people and they crossed the sea, but then basically, every momentous occasion, there are different opinions. Maybe Yoshua is the one who said it originally. And the Chachamim concluded that really, no, everyone said it.
Okay.
They all came to it together to say these five chapters. Meaning everyone had the same intention. They all... Well, yeah, this 117 is in the context of all of Hallel, but yeah. It goes back all the way to... Probably it goes back all the way to the Jewish people right after they crossed the sea. They sang Az Yashir, and they sang 117 along with the other five. 113, yeah. It's one group. 113 to 118, Hallel, it all goes together, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's all one big group. So this is the Gemara says in source number 6, Amar of Kahana, Kishachala Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi got sick. He was on his deathbed, it sounds like. Shilach lo Rebbe, so Rebbe sent a message, Emor lo Shnayim Ushlosh Dvarim, please tell us two or three things. She amart delana mishum avicha. Meaning you're passing away, you're the son of Rabbi Yossi, you have a lot of teachings that we didn't hear, so please tell us two or three things in the name of your father. So shalachlo, so one of the things he said was from this chapter, Tehillim. Kach amar abba, this is what my father used to say, he used to ask, my dichsiv, what does the psukim mean in Tehillim 117? Halluas Hashem kol goyim. All the other nations should praise God. Very problematic. Umas ha'ola my avitayu. Why would they praise God based on the kindness that he did for us? It doesn't make sense. The two verses don't seem to flow. So the Gemara here gives a very technical answer. Hachik amar. This is really what the psukim mean. Haluas Hashem kol goyim. All of the nations should praise God. Agivuros viniflos to avid behadayu. With all the miracles they witnessed. And kol shekein, and therefore all the more so, anu, to gavar aleinu chasto. So the Gemara is saying you sort of have to read, this is very common in Gemara language, you sort of have to read something in between the verses. Verse number one is saying, all the other nations should praise God, and then you have to sort of read it in between the lines, and for sure we should praise God because of all the kindness he did for us. So even though it's not written like that way, that's how the Gemara interprets it. The Gemara interprets it that there's some words missing, not literally missing, of course it was planned that way, but you have to read it, what we call in Gemara, a kal v'chomer. A kal v'chomer is all the more so. If this is true, all the more so that is true. Kal v'chomer literally means light to heavy. So if this is true, for sure that's true. So that's what the Pesukim are saying. If the other nations are going to praise God for all the miracles that they witnessed, happened to Jewish people, for sure the Jewish people have to praise God as well. So that's what the Gemara learns. You sort of have to fill in some missing words, and that's one possible interpretation. But I want to give you two other interpretations, one which was mentioned before and one which we'll say now. The Chafetz Chaim had an interesting interpretation. The Chafetz Chaim said, he gave a mashal, I'll sort of change the mashal a little bit. imagine you have a person, let's say they're at a party, you know, they're drinking too much, and they want to get to their car and they want to drive, you know, and their friend takes away the car keys. So at the time, the person who's drunk is so upset. Give me my car keys, I want to drive, I want to drive. But the friend knows what's going to happen if the guy gets into a car and gets and drives. Afterwards, when the drunkard sobers up, he thanks the person, thank you so much for not allowing me to do such bad things. If I got in the car and got pulled over, or even worse, I would have been in jail for that long. And so that's what Chafetz Chaim says, that when Mashiach comes, the non-Jewish people are going to thank Hashem for all the plans that they foiled, so now they won't be punished as much in the world to come. Meaning if all of their plans came to fruition, and everything they wanted to do to us actually happened, they would have got punished this amount. But now that Hashem did so many miracles throughout history, and they only did this amount, so they're going to look back like that person who sobered up and thank Hashem for the kindness He did to us. Because if you will, the non-Jews are going to say, if you allowed us to do all that we wanted to do, we're going to be punished this amount. So we're thanking God for the kindness that He did to the Jewish people, because now we only did this amount of evil, and now we're not going to be punished as much. That's what the Chafetz Chaim learned. Yeah, please go.
So, in just reading this, I guess what I'm taking away from for his time before
right, the MS Hashem Le'olam
is the thought I have is it could have how I'm interpreting it is the Torah was given, it was overwhelming when we received it, but the Torah having being here in the world has offered so much guidance, and when Moshiach comes, the nations will really understand that.
Very good.
So that's how I am understanding
very good.
This.
You also right. So I think others.
Like the Jewish people, like we're, I think that
the light for.
Like, right. Yeah. Like they give a certain morality, a certain light that a lot of non-Jewish nations appreciate and learn from, and we accept converts. And I don't know. Like I feel like it's like more of like.
Meaning right, thanking right. So the non-Jews are going to thank Hashem for giving the world the gift of the Jewish people.
Yes.
The light that the Jewish people. Right. Right, you don't, right. Some people don't need to wait for Mashiach to come. Very good. So I think others say that, well, very good. So there are many. So we're saying now, another answer we're saying, very good, Emily and Suzette are saying, is that maybe the non-Jews are going to get to a point, even though not everyone realizes it right now, and it sounds like most of the people are not realizing it right now in 2024, but when Mashiach comes, everyone's going to realize the gift that the Jewish people were to the world. And so even though now they're not praising God for the Jewish people, the opposite, but when Mashiach comes, they're going to praise God that God kept us around and kept saving us because of the gift and the light that we spread to the rest of the world. Also very beautiful. So again, there are other interpretations. Also, I'm open to hearing more. There are many, many answers. If this is the main question of this chapter of Tehillim. If you open up any book on Tehillim, chapter 117, so this is really the question. It's only two verses, not so much to focus on. This is the main question, the flow. So we gave three answers so far. Let's just recap. One, the Gemara sort of had a technical answer that you have to read in the missing words. It's like a kal v'chomer. The non-Jew should praise God, and for sure we should praise God for what He did for us. We quote an answer from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim said an interesting answer that the non-Jews are going to praise God that He saved the Jewish people and didn't allow them to go through with their evil plans, so now they won't be as punished. And one answer we just said, very good, from Emily and Suzette, was that when Mashiach comes and the truth is finally revealed, so the non-Jews are going to thank Hashem for keeping Jewish people around and saving us because of all the gifts and all the light and all the morals and the teachings that we spread to the entire world. Now let's go now to the back page. And this is really what Mr. Raff said. We're going to conclude with this. Similar to the Chafetz Chaim's point, but a nuance different. And this is from, it's the last source, even past 8, so there's no number. So this is from the Sefer of the Brisker Rav on the Torah, Rav Yitzchak Halevi Soloveitchik, one of the chains in the Soloveitchik dynasty. So he quotes a very interesting story, but he prefaces it. Again, it's a little hard to read the Hebrew, so you can just listen. It's the bottom. It's a copy from a book, so they didn't have it online, so it's a little hard to read. So he's going on Parshas Yisro. Yisro comes, and he joins the Jewish people, and he praises God. So he says, Vayomer Yisro, Baruch Hashem. Hashem should be praised. Why? Ki badavar asher zadu aleihem. Because it'll cut off. Because of the kindness that Hashem did, that He didn't allow the Mitzrim to do evil. That's a literal translation. And he says, Perush Rashi. Rashi says, what is the word Asher Zadu Alehem? As the Torah says, that Hashem saved us from what the Mitzrim Asher Zadu. So it's a little bit of a hard word. Rashi learns it means Asher Hirshiu. He that the Egyptians wanted to do evil. That's what. Aval but Unkelus Tirgim, the Unkelus translated Di Chashidu. What they wanted to do, what they suspected to do, what they thought to do. So it comes out, Unkelus, what Yisro is saying, praise, are you Hashem? Hashem, now I know that you're the only one. The Pasuk literally says, Atayadati, now I know that Hashem, you are the ultimate Hashem. Ki badavar asher sadu aleihem. Because of the thing they planned to do. So what does that mean? What is Yisro thanking Hashem for? V'abir bazeh. And now it goes, interesting story. Dehine yadua, it's known, Masha Hishiv Rav Itzla Mivalajin. There was a certain rabbi, Rav Itzla of the Lajin. Lissar Rusi. There was a Russian minister who actually asked this rabbi this question. He knew the chapter in Zams, and this Russian minister, this Russian, you know, governor for the Tsar, asked this rabbi Rav Itzla Mivalajin the question we've been dealing with. Kishashala, when he asked him, my hi, why is it Pasukin tell him say, Dichsiv, Haluas Hashem kol Goyim, Shabchu kol Umim, all the nations should praise God? Ki gavar aleinu chasdo? That's a question. All the nations should praise God because of the kindness he did for the Jewish people? So this Russian minister apparently was fluent in Tehillim, in Zams, and he asked this great rabbi, Itzla Volozhin, what is the meaning? He was also bothered. V'chi gavar achasdo a Yisrael, because Hashem did kindness for the Jewish people, tzrichim ha-goyim ahal Hashem? That's why the other nations should praise him? So Ano Rav Itzla Miyad. So Rav Itzla gave the answer that Ms. Raf said as well. Hello, Am Yisrael Lo Yodim. The Jewish people don't even know Mizimus Levavchem, from all the plans that are in your hearts. He says, but Petterberg, he's talking to his Russian minister. He says, we know how many evil things you want to do, Jewish people. And somehow a lot of them get foiled at the last minute. But we don't know what we wanted to do. How do we know what's in your heart to do? The Jewish people don't know what was in the hearts of their enemies to do. Who's the only one who knows? The enemies themselves. Hashem and the enemies themselves. So you Russian minister, you're the only one who can really praise God. Because you're the only one who knew the extent of how much evil, how much destruction you wanted to cause. We only know the small amount that comes to us, that we have to deal with. But there's so many other things that could have happened wrong. Even now in 2024, see, all these reports, hard to know what's true, what's not true, but originally, I remember reading it that on October 7th, originally the plan was that when Hamas attacked, so originally, I think, they agreed that Hezbollah also and Iran will also be involved at the same time. And something happened at the last minute, whatever happened, we don't know the truth, but they didn't attack. And so, you know, thank God, of course, with all the destruction that happened, imagine if on that day, instead of having to fight Hamas, it was from three different sides. So we don't know why that what happened last minute. Maybe a guy from Hamas and a guy from Iran got into a fight, like a small feud. We don't know what happened. And on that day, with all the destruction, we didn't even know how much worse it could have been. It's hard to imagine how much worse it could have been. It's scary to think. But it could have been so much worse. And it's always true. Things could have always have been worse. We never know all the plans that are foiled. So that's what Rav Itzla Mivalajin tells his Russian minister. You're the only one who knew. And that's why you're the one who has to praise God. And that's why he brings it back to Yisro. We're not going to read it inside. He brings it to Yisro because the Gemara tells us Yisro was one of Paro's ministers, advisors. When Paro wanted to make a decree against the Jewish people, so there were three ministers, Yisro, Bilam, and Eov. So Eov was silent. That's why Eov in the end got punished. He was plagued because he was silent. Yisro protested. Yisro was rewarded. He got a good son-in-law, Moshe, and he got a parsha named after him. Bilam agreed to the plan. Of course, Bilam was eventually destroyed. So he says that's why Yisro had the ability to praise God so much. Because Yisro was on the other side. Yisro was with Paro in the boardroom. Yisro, even more than the Jewish people, knew how much destruction Paro wanted to do. So Yisro could come and say, Atayadati, now I know ki gadol alokim. Now I know how great God is. Ki bedavar asher zadu aleihem. Because I'm the one who knows how much destruction they were planning. Asher chashvu. I know how much they were planning. Only Yisro is telling Moshe, you Jewish people, you may be witness to miracles. And maybe you have to thank Hashem for witnessing the miracles, but only me, Yisro, I was on the other side. I know how much worse it could have been. And that Torah of Itzla of Volozhin says to this Russian minister, that's the meaning of the verses. Haluas Hashem kol goyim, shabchu kol umim. Why should the other nations praise? Ki gavar aleinu chasto. Because of all the kindness that he did for us. Because they're the only ones who know how much worse it could have been. We could thank Hashem for what we see with our eyes. They could thank Hashem for everything else. And I always think, I'm going to conclude with this, when I read this, you think of the parsha of Bilaam we just mentioned. What's the story of Bilaam? So you have Bilaam going, he's hired by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse the Jewish people. Now it's a fascinating image if you think about it. While that whole story of Bilaam and Balak was happening, Bilaam is trying to curse the Jewish people three times, and Hashem transforms his curses into blessings. But at the time, the Jewish people had no idea what was going on. Bilaam was on top of a mountain being hired by Balak. Hashem was doing tremendous miracles. He was taking these very powerful curses. Bilaam was a prophet. He had very powerful curses. Hashem did a miracle and switched it. Now at that time, it's like a split screen. At that time, the Jewish people were just sitting in their camp, probably eating their mun and drinking their water, doing whatever they were doing. They had no idea what was going on. So the Jewish people were living their life, normal life. They didn't realize that at that very moment, they almost got destroyed. Bilaam wanted to curse them and destroy them, and Hashem miraculously saved them. See, they only figured out later on what happened. Later on, Hashem told them, you should know what happened with Bilaam. But that's really, that image of Bilaam and the Jewish people, that really might, could be right now even. How do we know what's happening in the world? And so this is really one of the messages, in addition to what everyone else said, of chapter 117, is that whenever we thank Hashem for things, we thank Hashem for what we know, we also have to thank Hashem for things that are probably happening that we don't know. And it's not even on a communal level, but individually. How do we know, lo aleinu, maybe when we were driving our car, in Chas V'Shalom, we don't want to talk about these things, but maybe someone, a drunk driver, wanted to go up this street, and last minute he went to a different street. That is one example. There are a million examples. So whenever we thank Hashem, it's important, and this is really the message I want to end off with, in chapter 117, whenever we thank Hashem, either for Klal Yisrael as a nation or for our individual blessings, it's important to thank Hashem also for what we don't know about. To add in a little thank you that I know so many things could have gone wrong that I don't even know about. We have Bilaams, we have other enemies who are plotting and plotting and plotting. There was even one story in Erev Pesach, this we know about, but I saw the video, the terrorist gets out with a gun, and these three Jewish men there, and the gun just jams. I think it was in Yerushalayim, I think, in Romeima, and the gun just jams. Like he has a gun. Three people, and the gun just jammed. So that, Hashem gave us a gift to see that, to realize that. But how often does it happen without even knowing about it? So sometimes Hashem lets us in, but so often Hashem doesn't let us in. And we have to thank Hashem because of all of the hidden blessings, and that's what either Moshe or David is saying, that when Mashiach comes, more than the Jewish praise, it's going to be the non-Jewish people. The enemies of the Jewish people are going to praise God because only they realize the extent of how much good He's done for us.